Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you have all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We will be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I am Director Shepard, as always.
And I am Director Stolte.
And you have been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives presented to the public as a dramatic hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you have all been cleared to know the truth. And the truth is that we are at the mid-season point for season one here. Only 10 episodes in. I think, what did they sign on? They signed on for like 22 episodes, I think, total, right?
I think it was 22 total, yeah.
So we're a little less than halfway, but it's about Christmas time here in the States. So that is about the mid-season break that they do, the winter break. And It's been an up and down ride here. We've got an interesting episode to talk about tonight. So, Josh, I'm going to let you give us a little brief about episode 10 here.
Well, this is the episode's titled "The Bridge," and I don't think that refers to a musical interlude. There, that's not what this one.
Well,
was
actually,
about, was
that is an interesting point. It is sort of, it could be seen in that way. You know, it is the interlude, right? Right before, hopefully, something dramatic and exciting happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, that's possible.
They teased us with that at the end, so we got a few loose ends they want to go back to. So it could be.
As we'll discuss, I think it's a lot more literal than that.
Yeah, probably. Well, I first watched this episode on December 10th, 2013. As I said, it was called "The Bridge," written by Shalisha Francis, directed by Holly Dale. So, in a perfect example of cool under pressure, Edison Poe, we saw him a couple episodes back, is broken out of prison by super soldiers that are pumped up on extremists. Agent Coulson recruits the help of a reformed bad guy, Mike Peterson, who we've also seen before, who has been in the John Deere training program at S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
Pushing around those tractors, right? And he's preparing to be a real live boy. Agent, of course. Despite some reluctance on the team, though, having been almost killed and stuff, you know, by Mike, they work together and they track down Centipede and the woman in the flower dress who they saw on a little security camera in the prison there. Mm-hmm. As time of the year for dramatic ending. So when Centipede takes Mike's son, the confrontation ends in a fiery explosion for Peterson and a stunning gunshot wound for Agent Ward and a shocking kidnapping of Coulson.
Wow. I was just pretty sure that everybody was going to die at the end of this episode because, you know, they were all going to go to Tahiti over the break. We're nice and warm, magical, and they're all going to come back arrested in January. So,
well, this would be the time for it.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, speaking of January, I'll just in the news segment here. We don't have much to offer other than the fact that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is off for 3 weeks, as we will be, and everyone can reconvene here at this location in January. For the new episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on January 7th, soon to be followed by the new episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files right thereafter. So we can expect that. And if you want to get teased about what may or may not be coming up, there is, I don't know, what's like a, I think it's like a 30-second teaser for the second half of the season, which to me looks like they're just taking some shots from maybe just the next two episodes. I don't think they have enough to pull from anything else other than that, but there is a teaser for what, you know, the back half of the season, but I'd say it's probably the middle part of the season upcoming here. So
yeah, felt like it had a couple I don't know, maybe not big spoilers, but you know, for the dramatic ending and some of the mysteries that we were wondering about at the end of this one, the little teaser there showed some scenes that you know, put some of that stuff to rest.
Yeah.
But it was exciting. I liked it. It was a good little teaser.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't know if you call them spoilers because, I mean, it's stuff we've been talking about for 10 episodes now, so it's not really a spoiler. They're just kind of finally getting on with, you know, answering questions and stuff like this. I'm kind of torn here. Just this, you know, I've been saying that some of the recent episodes or were doing a lot better. And as a mid-season finale, this episode, personally, I feel dropped the ball a little bit. It was not. I just didn't feel enough at stake. There was a lot of stuff going on, but there wasn't really much happening, if I can put it that way. And I just didn't care enough about what the characters, you know, were getting into. They opened up some more of the mysteries, which is cool, but I'm feeling like this is Lost circa season 2, maybe 3, when they just kept, you know, talking about stuff and never really got to answering any of the questions.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I mean, I think they just needed a bigger threat from Centipede, you know, something more than someone being kidnapped or Coulson or you know, them, anything, whatever they had in there. They just needed something bigger, that whatever Centipede's main goal is, they need to kind of reveal that stuff so we can see how important it is.
I mean, we've got this isolated team fighting against this group that we don't know who they are, which is fine. I can understand them, you know, wanting to keep some mystery in there, I guess. But like you said, we don't know what their main goal is. It's hard to tell if things that are happening are problems with the way the writers are putting stuff together. Like, hey, did they forget what they were talking about the other week? Because now all of a sudden this is happening. It seems like a mistake. Is it a mistake? Did they forget that they mentioned this before, or does that mean something that, you know, they've said something one week and done something else the next? You know, so it could be a device, but, in each of the little sequences, I think they're either being too subtle or they're being too overt. And I can point out some examples that I saw in this episode as we go through. Let's go through some of the discussion topics of some of the stuff that was happening here. I think there were some really cool things that were going on. We got some callbacks and tie-ins to previous episodes, most notably the pilot, and then there was a tie-in to, I think it was episode 4, I Spy, and then there was also a tie-in with, I didn't look it up. I think it's episode 7.
Woman in the Flower Dress.
Yeah, the Woman in the Flower Dress. With Scorch.
Okay.
I think we were asking about this last week. I looked it up. Scorch is dead. He did explode at the end of the that episode. He was in the hallway, and they overdosed him with the instruments.
Like I said, he did overdose, and we saw the fire explosion come out of the top of the building, but still no evidence of his death other than that.
Well, that's true. I mean, it is a comic book show. I mean, how long can people not stay dead or stay dead and, you know, come back? So we'll see.
Not that he was anybody important enough to stay around that long.
No, but he's got a superpower, and it's cool.
It's still possible.
Yeah, we haven't seen, I mean, you know, we've
that's
seen
true.
Mike Peterson with his superpowers. We've seen Scorch, and then we've seen the, you know, the Asgardian staff that makes people super strong and things like that. So I think it's cool to have that, you know, in the mix, like, oh, we can have this character show up again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree, especially with somebody with actual powers.
Right, right. So, like you mentioned, we've got the return of Mike Peterson, played by J. August Richards, and he was the superpowered. I know you said like he was a bad guy in the little brief, but you know, misguided guy, I guess, is kind of more like it. I never felt he was a true threat to our guys, other than the fact that he is just an unstable personality, and he's got this superpower in him. And
well, he was backed into a corner.
Yeah,
you know, in the pilot, you know, that's he was put in a situation where he really didn't have many choices, and he was trying to do whatever he could for him and his son. So, yeah, I agree with you. He's not really a bad guy, but he's definitely doing whatever he can to make up for his mistakes and his missteps, and he really wants to be a hero for his son.
Or so he says, and that's one of my problems. I think with the episode is that it's not necessarily with the performance of the actor, but the character. He says, you know, it's like, oh, you know, I didn't know who I was at that time, meaning in the pilot at the when they were at the train station, but I've really found myself now, and I want to be doing good, and I want to do good for my son, because that's really been his one. The character's one touchstone throughout both episodes he's been in is that he's pretty much doing everything for his son. Like, he's trying to take care of his boy. He took the job as being this guinea pig with Centipede, you know, to make money for his boy and all this kind of stuff. But then, you know, he turns against our team in this episode, and I almost feel like it's one of those things that's like with Coulson, you know, fool me once, shame on me, but fool me twice, or fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. I feel like Coulson kind of got suckered into, you know, getting screwed over by someone again here, and it's not really his fault. Peterson's just, you know, he's saying one thing and then he's doing something else. And it's not, I'm not finding it redeeming. It's like, get this guy off the team. I mean, if he did get blown up, I mean, we saw him in an explosion, but he's also super powered. So, you know, who knows, but if he did get blown up at the end, it's like, fine. I'm not liking this character at all. I don't know what your take on him was.
He doesn't have anything special going for him for me that makes him stand out as somebody that I have a lot of sympathy for. I don't mean to sound like heartless. I mean, I guess trying to protect his son and he just supposedly got blown up. It's not that I want that from him, but
right.
You know, he just doesn't stand out as somebody is that seems like he's going to make that much difference to the progression of the storyline. So, you know, I mean, I think that's been the case for a few characters. I think maybe they need to make him a little bit more extreme, a little bit more interesting, I guess.
I mean, he's got this conflict that obviously he's going through something. You know, he wants to be a better person, but he's weak. And I think he's a character that has strong, you know, physically he is very strong now, but morally, he is weak. He has no backbone. He, you know, and granted, they kidnapped his son. And, you know, I can't say what I would do in a situation like that. I mean, you know, that's got to be horrible if, you know, you believe your child is actually in danger. You know, you would probably do anything to save them. And, you know, even turning on people that are, you know, your allies here. But yeah, I think there's just other things that you know, he could be a little stronger with, you know, and if they continue to work with this character, I want to see some evolution. I don't want to see this character who has these flaws from the first episode continue to have the same flaws.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's kind of like what they've been trying to do with Sky. You know, it seems like Sky was had some flaws, and it even seemed like she was going to betray them. But now I think she has a lot of emotion for the team, and I don't think she would truly betray them. Matter of fact, she was even put in a situation where she could have, and she didn't.
Right.
So she's, to me, she seems like a little bit more, you know, like you said, you care for her a little bit more, and, mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, I agree with you. He just didn't seem that interesting to me. I like the idea of bringing him back, though. I like the idea of revisiting some of the things that they have been running across this mm-hmm. season and tying it into a bigger storyline.
Right. The and in the end, when I kind of look back and I, you know, when I assess the episodes in a couple different ways, I mean, when I'm just watching a television show, I probably don't put as much thought into it as I do with a show like this, which I'm going to sit here and talk to you about it for about an hour with a bunch of people listening in to us. So when I look back on an episode that we're going to podcast about, I look at it two ways. I look at it from a quality standpoint and a very, I look at it very analytically, excuse me, analytically. And then I also look at it from an emotional standpoint. How did it make me feel? Did it take me on a fun ride? Even if there were analytically holes, plot holes or something like that, did the emotion carry me through, you know, carry me over those foibles of the episode? And this, at least this episode, I can say, no, it didn't. I didn't feel any empathy. I didn't feel, you know, oh yeah, it's too bad that his son got kidnapped, but I wasn't like, oh man, you know, they're really going to kill him and, or, you know, do something bad. It's like, are these people bad? I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen them do anything that tells me that they're serious about doing what they say they're going to do. I mean, they've attacked our heroes. And Mike Peterson being on the team means that we can now have some other superpowered people try to beat up on the team, and they at least will be able to hold their own for a little while because they too have a superpowered guy on their team. But, you know, he gets stabbed. People get stabbed a lot in this universe, in this show. Just thinking back to Coulson. Yeah, I don't know. There were some other interesting things for thought here that I thought we'd discuss as well. As you mentioned, there was the woman in the flower dress, whose name is Raina, and she was in the aforementioned episode, which was called The Woman in the Flower Dress, where she recruited Scorch, and she also recruited Mike Peterson. I guess it must have been off screen, right? Because we didn't see her in the pilot episode, correct? We just saw that other doctor, the red-haired doctor lady.
Right, right. But I think he said she was the one that came to him in the hospital when he was having some back issues or something like that. And
right.
Raina was the one that talked to him. But we never saw that scene. That was before they went straight into when he had the extremists already in him. So
right, right, which was a nice way to kind of link the pilot in more to some of these other episodes that we've seen. and then the I don't remember which episode it was, just a couple episodes ago where I think it was in the Woman in the Flower Dress episode where she goes to visit this guy in prison and talks to him, and it really didn't make any sense what they were talking about. He kept referring to the clairvoyant, and that, you know, piqued my interest just from a, ooh, we're going to get someone with, you know, psychic abilities or something like that, you know, and this episode, returns to talking about the clairvoyant. It raises some questions. Some of them from the side of the character Raina talking with Edison Poe, who is this ex-Marine, ex-Army, something like that, because he was in a federal penitentiary.
Yeah.
They're trying to, I guess, possibly use him to lead their army of super soldiers. We're really not sure what the end game is, just that they need him for some reason, and we don't know too much else about him.
Didn't they also say he was like a strategist or something, or maybe they're talking about they were speculating that maybe he was being used for strategy or...
Yeah, he had something in his background that had to do with, you know, strategy or, you know, and he'd been an officer or something along those lines. So there's discussion about the clairvoyant between Raina and Poe, in one fashion, and then there's talk with the SHIELD team about the clairvoyant because they hear this name, and you know they're saying, well, there's really no such thing as anybody with psychic ability. You know, no one is listed on the index, which, you know, I'm looking at it kind of, I think, the same way Sky is. It's like, well, you just have not encountered anyone like that. I think it was Agent May said, people like that are just myths, And, you know, Sky pointed out, well, you know, so was Thor, but, you know, Thor exists. So why can't there be people with ESP? They're really, much like with the mystery of Coulson, they're really fighting this whole ESP thing, which I find really weird just because there's so much use of telekinetic and ESP powers in the Marvel Universe in general, in the comics, but also in S.H.I.E.L.D. specifically. They have their own ESP division. What are your thoughts about, you know, that? Is there room for this in the Marvel Universe?
Yes. I think there's plenty of room, and as a matter of fact, I don't think they've explored it enough. And this isn't the first time that they've talked about things that shouldn't exist, and maybe it was ESP or clairvoyance or something else in one or two other episodes, so much so that I think that they're leading up to a point where they're going to reveal that, well, actually, it does exist. And that's probably what this clairvoyant, what purpose a clairvoyant is going to is to serve, because they're going to have to figure out why he'll be doing something, obviously, they're going to have to deal with. And I'm sure their first reaction is going to try to figure out a scientific explanation for it, especially, you know, Fitzsimmons. Mm-hmm. When you say, is there room for it? Not only is there room, I think it's been lacking in this series so far.
Yeah.
And I think it would probably – I mean, this – okay, when you look at other superhero movies that try to be very, very realistic, and, you know, I could use The Dark Knight as an example.
Okay.
I could use Arrow, the series Arrow, where they try to ground it in more reality without the superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be something that's really big in the genre right now, I guess, just to make it more realistic or I don't know. I'm not sure what their purpose is. I actually prefer when it's a little bit more comic booky. But it seems like they're almost trying to do that for this series when you already have a universe that this is based in with superpowers, things like Thor, things like Captain America, things like
The Hulk
that we've seen in the movies, things like The Hulk, where it's not an issue because we've already seen that happen in this universe. So
yeah.
Why not explore that more with this series? Why not bring some of those in? I mean, is it money? Is it, you know, special effects abilities? Is it, you know, what is it? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. So part of me, when I'm hearing talk about the clairvoyant from these two sides, because with Poe and Raina, what I found was interesting was that Raina kept referring to the clairvoyant as he. I don't know if you picked up on it. This is like really subtle kind of stuff. You got I was listening for in my second time through because I started to hear a little bit of it in the first time. They're sitting in the car. She's talking about, you know, what does he look like? Can you tell me about him? And Poe is just like, no, I can't share anything. You know, the last person, you know, I had to stab in the eye because they found out too much about the clairvoyant. He never uses a personal pronoun. He always refers to the clairvoyant as the clairvoyant. So, and then I think there was mention on the side when the Team S.H.I.E.L.D. was talking about it, they didn't know, you know, maybe it could be an alias. So I'm like, well, it could be a title, right? It could be someone like the Mandarin. No, I'm not saying it's the Mandarin, but, you know, just in terms of the Mandarin, you know, it's someone using a title. Mandarin is actually a type of person, right? When we refer to, you know, someone who is Mandarin Chinese. So he's taken that name as his title of his, you know, supervillainness, villainy, whatever. So maybe there's just a character that may or may not have psychic powers, but they call themselves the clairvoyant because then everybody will believe that they're clairvoyant and they just have something else that allows them to, you know, exist and do whatever they need to do. Obviously this, you know, because Poe has yet to be able to have the clairvoyant make a prediction about, and they were very vague on this, but I believe they were talking about Coulson. He hasn't been able to figure out where he was, or there was something else that he mentioned, and I can't remember what it is now. But, you know, it was basically the clairvoyant is fuzzy on that. Like, he can't see into that part of the future. And I think it's revolving around Coulson, which is why they wanted to kidnap Coulson, because whatever happened, right? There's some other tech, some pseudo-scientific magic thing that we don't know about, may or may not be, you know, related to anything else we've ever heard of in the universe, or it could just be a big fake out. You know, I think that's now, all going to tie together.
So let me ask you a question about their intent with Coulson, about what their motivation behind kidnapping them. Now, it obviously was they tried to make it seem like they were after Peterson the whole time.
Right, because he is the bridge to stage three, whatever stage three is. I guess a more...
I would guess stage three would be giving someone extremists and, you know, not having them...
Yeah, but he was, like, because he was complaining about how tired he gets, that he has to regenerate, his energy. It didn't seem as extreme as what we were seeing with the soldiers, but it sounds like they both have the same issues. They've both been able to stabilize the extremists in different ways. The Centipede group used the Scorch's platelets in the blood to neutralize the explosive portion, but they still have this weird energy drain. Peterson has an energy drain, but he was able to stabilize it due to the combination of the whatever was in the night gun. I don't know. I mean, again, unclear, but I digress.
Right. So my question was, so do you think that they originally wanted Peterson until they saw Coulson, until they saw that, you know, he was alive, or started thinking about, well, hey, you know, he's alive? Or do you think that they really did want Coulson from the beginning, and it just, you know, the writers just kind of made it seem like they were after Peterson? Do you think that, you know, does Coulson have something to do with this extremist to begin with? Is that not him, but I mean, is that maybe why he's alive, or is it? Is that stage three, or, you know, well, so that actually kind of intrigued me.
Yeah, let me turn this around then. So other than Coulson's girlfriend, who is a second chair cellist for the Portland Symphony Orchestra, who thinks he's dead, and the Avengers and some members of S.H.I.E.L.D. who know him, who else really gives a hoot about Coulson? I mean, other, you know, not the audience here, but, like, you know, in the show, because are these people, like, paying attention? Oh, this guy Coulson, he got stabbed, but wait, now he's back. I mean, that's not really public. That can't be public knowledge or anything like that. Is this group, is the Centipede group, do they know about that? Because if they do know that, then I can definitely see why they would be interested in getting Coulson. It's like, all right, well, this guy died, and now he's back to life. So S.H.I.E.L.D.'s actually got something going on. But from everything we've heard about Centipede, their tech is growing at an alarmingly fast rate. We find out in this episode that they are the people behind the little eye camera from iSpy, as well as Centipede. They've integrated both of those, the Centipede and the eye camera, into soldiers in this episode. And, you know, they've got an unlimited manpower. They've got unlimited funds, and their tech is just continuing to grow. You know, if this doesn't turn out to be advanced idea mechanics in some fashion, I'm going to be, you know, if they just create something else, which is what I feel like they're doing, they're not really pulling enough stuff from the comics to make up with stuff. They're just kind of come up with their own ideas, which seem to be running parallel to stuff we're seeing in the comics, but not really making that. You know, they're not really jumping in wholeheartedly like they did for the Avengers. I mean, I felt like, you know, they gave us the helicarrier and all these superheroes and supervillains and, you know, all sorts of other cool stuff that we'd seen in comic books, the Quinjet and all that kind of stuff. So, I think they want to get Coulson because, you know, they realize that S.H.I.E.L.D. has solved the, you know, I want to say the anti-life equation, right? They're able to make that bridge between life and death and bring people back in some fashion. And Centipede wants to know what that is, because out of everything else that they can do, they can't do that. That's kind of my thought on that. I don't know if that's, you know, I'm going to guess it's probably way off base, but it'll be interesting to see where that goes.
Well, I almost think that it has it fits into whatever their plan is, which like I said, we still don't know. But it almost fits into helping them progress with what their whole goal is, and maybe that's with the super soldiers, or maybe that's some other goal. But I think that's why they want Coulson. They seem very interested. I don't think that it's probably just. If we had this, we could bring people back, but it could be. I mean, it's so.
If you had an army that was super strong, and that couldn't die, even if you killed them, you could reanimate them or whatever, you bring them back to life. I mean, you'd be unstoppable, right?
Yeah. Supposedly.
So let me ask you this question. And I apologize to anybody that listens to our Arrow podcast as well, because it seems like a lot of the discussion points that I want to bring up seem to relate between the two shows, and I feel that Arrow's doing the super soldier thing better than S.H.I.E.L.D. is right now, because they both – I don't know if you've noticed this, but over the past 2 weeks, it seems like they've got a very – or the past two episodes, they've got very similar kind of storylines with the – Mirakuru drug.
I have noticed that.
Arrow, and then this the extremist super soldier combination serum stuff here on S.H.I.E.L.D. But
yeah, you even got somebody getting stabbed in the eye.
Oh yeah, look at that. So let's just kind of explore this a little bit. What is the purpose of them creating these super soldiers? Like, why do they need that?
That's what we don't know. I mean, that's. And I honestly have no idea what I could speculate what, what you with super soldiers. You try to take over S.H.I.E.L.D. or you try to take over a big metropolitan city, or you try to take over the world.
That's what I'm trying to.
I don't know. I haven't seen.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to explore. Yeah. I mean, I guess, it's like they're trying to make an army for some reason. And then, Like was mentioned in Arrow this week, what's the purpose of having an army? Well, it's to go to war. Okay, if we want to go to that end, who are they going? Who is this centipede group going to war with? We don't know enough, right? Like you're saying, do they want to just take S.H.I.E.L.D. and destroy them? Well, we don't see any evidence of that. They don't seem to be. They're not like using these super soldiers to raid banks or anything like that. They're just making them and then running away from S.H.I.E.L.D. until Poe says, well, you should fight. They go, oh, yeah, right. We got three super soldiers. I guess we should fight. That's a good idea. It's like, is it purely, is it like research and development only? Is it just like, Google think tank or something like that? Or,
Centipede think tank, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like, why are you going through all this trouble to do this? Is there a Dr. Evil behind this, from the Austin Powers series, this kind of megalomaniac who has unlimited funds and is really smart and, wants to build this army and then it's going to, take over the world, like you say. I mean, it's... Who knows? And we're 10 episodes in, and we don't know.
Like I said, that to me, I feel is the part that is missing so far from the series. They need to start revealing those threats, so we have something to be worried about, and we have something that we can say, oh, okay, my gosh, are the good guys going to be able to triumph, or how are they going to stop this guy, or how are they going? So we need that sense of danger. In order to start feeling those emotions.
Yeah. The things they have been focusing on, very little, the stakes that they are putting around for the team, like there was more discussion of kind of the Ward and May relationship that we've seen over the past couple episodes. They were sparring and, Ward makes a little quip about, something having to do with their relationship, and May, got really upset with him. It's like she doesn't want anybody to find out that she's involved with Ward, in some kind of casual sexual relationship, I guess. To me, that seems like a bigger deal on the show than the fact that there are these super soldiers running around. And that's totally backwards. I mean, just it seems to me totally backwards. Why should I care more about the fact that someone's going to find out that May is sleeping with Agent Ward, which is really, that doesn't really matter about, you know, that in the scheme of things, a big deal. You know, it's what she does in her personal life. Yeah, I mean, what's the, why not? But you got these super soldiers running around, and it's like, oh, you know, okay, fine. You know, we'll just, they've shut down two of their operating places within the last 2 weeks or something like that. So they destroyed the one in LA, they destroyed the one in Hong Kong, they destroyed two others. Now they go after this one in Oakland. You know, big deal. It's like, no, that is a big deal. That should be what's important, not this, some of this other interpersonal stuff, which, you know, I mean, I just, again, I'm not feeling the closeness to these characters, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. So we got the first half of the season down, and we have the second half to look forward to. Here's my proposal. Here's what I hope they do. I want them to, they spent the first half understanding these characters and really giving them each an episode to look into their background. So now let's get into some threats. Let's get into some big time bad guys with, and it could be Centipede, or it could be, I don't even care if they start doing like a villain of the week kind of thing, if they make them interesting, but it should lie into some other bigger plan for us to be scared about and for us to worry about. That's what I think they should do.
I think that would be fine. I'd like them to answer some of the stuff that they've been teasing for a while now, like the how did Coulson come back to life, which it sounds like, you know, they're going to get into. But engage me and make me care that, you know, when they told us that Coulson was coming back, it was like everybody was really excited about, oh, yeah, why is he back? And it's not that big a deal right now, or at least doesn't seem like it's that big a deal to us, and because they just keep teasing it and teasing it. So I agree. I think that would be a good way to do it. And, yeah, I definitely wouldn't mind having a villain of the week. Let's actually get some villains on here rather than the misunderstood S.H.I.E.L.D. agent or the misunderstood bad guy or the bad guys that aren't really bad guys or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I hope they're listening to what people are saying, what fans are saying. From what I've heard, they're still getting decent enough ratings that, you know, they can continue and you know, people are still watching. Mm-hmm. So they can have hopes of having a second season because of the ratings. But I think that they are going to start losing people if they don't start doing something. The teaser looked promising. The teaser looked like they could really start getting into something, wrap up the stuff on Coulson and figure out exactly what was going on, and then start giving them the missions where Coulson can really shine being more Coulson-y. The other characters can start using what we've already learned about them and interact with each other in the way that they've developed them.
Yeah, I'd like to see him go a little.
Was that a succinct enough explanation?
Yeah. I think that's good. I'd like to see him go even a little more James Bond, more gadgets per episode. They introduce a few things here and there, but I mean, they explain too much about him. It's like, oh, this is, you know, the night gun, and the, you know, it keeps showing up again, and you know, whatever little tech piece and stuff like this. Just show us stuff that we don't have to know why it works or how it works. I mean, I know they're trying to use Sky to be able to, you know, explain this kind of stuff, but more cold openings like we did where they were where Coulson was supposedly kidnapped the other week, and then they rescue that guy from the Arctic base or whatever it was. It has nothing to do.
That was great.
It has nothing to do with the episode, right? But it really kind of gets you in there, shows them working as a team for the most. Well, it was more about Coulson, I guess, but you do get to see some of the teamwork aspects and stuff like that. And show them working as a team. I mean, we're getting a lot of this solo stuff where even in their fights and stuff like this. Oh, and I was going to mention this. The fights, I had a hard time following the fight scene in this episode. I don't know if it's because everybody was wearing dark colors. It seemed to have to do with the editing. And I, even watching it two times, I still can't really put my finger on it. It's the one where they're fighting the super soldiers in the abandoned building with the shipping containers.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know. I'd love to be able to just say, oh, it was because of this, and they should try X to do it. It wasn't like it was a shaky cam. I think it was just the angles that they were filming it and cutting back and forth from, but I don't know. It's just
yeah,
one of those pet peeves.
I didn't really have too much of a problem with it. But one thing that I do think would have improved that, and I actually think this would improve, you know, you had the hood of the Lola cam, you know, while Coulson and Ward were driving down the street talking about girls.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't, all of those close shots, back away a little bit, get some settings in there and kind of give it a more, I hesitate to say cinematic, you know, but just give it more of a, you know, they pan back more. And I think that fight scene was it seemed very close to me.
Yeah, and I was really hoping that they were going to show more, you know, like actually have Lola do something, because the last time we saw Lola fly was in the pilot episode with Mike Peterson. I'm like, oh, they're out driving around in Lola. This will be a great opportunity for us to see her in action again. But, you know, nope, she was just driving on the street like a normal kind of car. So, you know, why show a flying car and get everyone excited about it and then never use it again? Seems budgetary, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, normally around this time of the show, we talk about all the references.
I agree.
Yeah. I was going to say, normally we talk about all the references and stuff like this, and there really aren't any other than stuff we've kind of mentioned with the Extremis, and Mike Peterson mentioned the Heroes of New York action figures that he got for his son, which we had again seen in the pilot episode. So not really drawing much from the comic books, at least with this episode. So we have got another 3 weeks until the return of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I guess until then, you know, go back and watch some of the other episodes, and maybe there's something we've missed. Maybe they're going to come back in January, and they're going to hit us with both guns blazing, and we will have an amazing second half of the season, and we'll say, well, I'm sorry, S.H.I.E.L.D., I don't know why I doubted you. But right now,
there you go.
Yeah, the future's not as future doesn't seem as promising right now. But I'm willing to keep an open mind and you know, let them start working on the second half of the season, see what we get.
Sounds good to me. I'll keep an open mind too, and I'm excited because I still like the idea behind it, and I think they can do it.
All right. Well, that's all we've got for this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s Case Files.
If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to leave feedback on iTunes, and you can contact us by email at shield@randomchatter.com, or you can get on Twitter. We're at Agents Podcast, or our Facebook page at facebook.com/agentspodcast.
And also be sure to check out the other podcasts that we do, Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, which follows the TV show Arrow, and it's also available on randomchatter.com. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please be sure to tell all your friends about us, because that's the only way that we're going to continue to grow. So for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.
And a piece of crap Skype connection.